I want to thank you all for working so hard to make my retirement Sunday so special last Sunday afternoon, and that was really lovely. And especially Andy, who contributes so much to the sound system. I mean, it's just incredible, and he makes it work. And that was took quite some doing, I think, last Sunday. And I think, let's look at this practically. You are all going to benefit as this old bird moves away from leadership and somebody else, maybe who has more electronic knowledge and higher IQ and can do all the things that I struggle with, that you're going to get that now. It'll be lovely. I've had such a fabulous time as pastor here, and last Sunday was a time of celebration for our whole church, I felt. And God was really showing me that in the day or so afterwards, that it was a celebration of the church. And he was just blessing us, and that was so good. And how good for Crawford to come and speak. Even if you only did get half of it, dear, that's fine. a lot of what he said made me cry anyway. And how amazing it was to see so many people at the service. And it's right, and we should praise God as we journey on in our Christian life, because it's great. It is exactly what we should be doing. And that's what we did last week. And to God be the glory. Amen. Moving on is always hard for all concerned, but it's necessary. And I always remember when my minister from Thorrington Church told me he was leaving, and I felt bereft and actually a bit angry. And I hadn't been a Christian long, about 2 years, I think, and I felt that I was being abandoned. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of you feel exactly that now. He said something that stuck with me, and it was this. He said, "You're focusing on me, and you need to be focusing on God." On the Sunday, he said something similar to the whole congregation. And I have learnt over the years that it's important for us all to grow with God. And for that to happen, we need to move, not stand still. And that can be moving to different places. It can be moving as we're growing. It can be moving up in what you take on board in the church. But we must never stand still. Our speaker, Jake, that I listened to yesterday, gave a challenging talk on longing for Christ's return the other week. And we should be looking forward. We should be actually looking forward to his return as we journey on through our lives. Keeping our focus right. Well, as I thought about what I was going to do for today, it took me back to the very first talk I gave on the 9th of October 2014, and it was our harvest service, and I spoke on the sower. And we went on to study during the next couple of months all the different kinds of ground described there and how they're likened to our hearts. What's our heart like? 5 years on, I want us to focus briefly on two scriptures. One on the meaning of communion, which we'll be taking together following my talk, and the other in my conclusion, which is a word from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, which I will read myself. It really spoke to me how I was feeling right now. But it's important to look at the words. And then, I was just thinking about the sower and how I came in teaching about all the different seeds, and we were focusing on the sower. And then as I'm coming now, I'm thinking about the things that grow. And of course, our communion comes from all the products of the ground and from our Lord, because we're blessed by what is grown. And we'll think again about that in a minute. But right now, I want to look at this passage from Mark, where Jesus is sharing the Last Supper that he has with his disciples this side of death. And he gives the actual words of our communion service. And I want to share what he actually says, taken from this scripture. And as Peter reads it for us, I want you to listen. Listen to the actual words. Thank you, Peter.
And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, praised God and gave thanks, and asked him to bless it to their use. Then he broke it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He also took a cup, the juice of grapes, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which ratifies the new covenant, the blood which is being poured out for many on account."
Jesus takes the bread and he breaks it. But think about the words that we should say. As often it's said, "This is my body broken for you." Jesus actually says, "Take, eat, this is my body." And the gospel writers tell us that Jesus' bones weren't broken. Broken actually does appear in the King James Version, but most ancient Greek manuscripts don't have the word broken. And apparently the speculation is that broken was inserted by a scribe who was thinking of the Eucharist. The correct meaning is, "This bread, which is broken for you, is my body." Can you see the words, the way the words change? And one theologian says it like this: "This is my body for you." But it's awkward, and it sounds like a word's been left out. And if you insert the word "given," "This is my body given for you," it doesn't change the meaning, but it makes better English. I want you to think about that. I also found that reading Joyce Meyer's notes on communion was also very helpful. Whoops, there we go. And I want to read this for you, because I want to share the meaning that she pulls across here. She says, "Like many others, I received and participated in communion services for years, without truly understanding what I was doing. I knew the bread and juice represented the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. I knew he instructed that we eat it and drink it in remembrance of him. But there is a much deeper and more glorious meaning of communion. Holy communion was never intended to be an empty ritual with little or no meaning to those participating in it. First, we take the bread. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the Word made flesh. And as we partake of the bread, we take him as our living bread, the only source that can truly satisfy our hunger in life. We remember what he's done for us. We take him as our living drink, the only source that can satisfy our thirst. And as we drink of the cup, It is the equivalent of sprinkling blood or shedding blood on the sacrifice of his body. It's important that we take both the bread and the cup. If people attempt to remove the blood, they are removing the power of the gospel. Communion can and should be a fresh dedication of our lives to the Lord, a reminder of the blood covenant that we have with God because Jesus stood in our place. In his great love for us, he took our sins upon himself and remembers them no more. His sacrifice on the cross made it possible for us to receive his salvation, his mercy, grace, and favor. So when you take communion, realize that Jesus has given you his best. Remember that he shed his blood and gave his life for you. Communion is a time to examine your life and ask for forgiveness in areas where it is needed. It's also a good time to release your faith and ask God for healing in your physical body, as well as every other area of your life. I'm going to very briefly tell you that for me, for certain, it was at the communion rail that an amazing realization came. When I knew what I had been doing had been wrong, and I refused to take communion. And I refused to take communion, and it hurt somebody in my congregation that I wasn't taking communion anymore. And I spoke to a minister about it, and they knew, and I was honest. And he said, go and take communion. What is past is past. What's in the future hasn't happened yet. The honesty and where you are right now is the bit where the exchange is going to take place. And that was very powerful. And I took communion again after a long break. And indeed, the enemy will try and stop you taking communion for all sorts of reasons. And I realized that it was the enemy that had been stopping me, because coming back to Jesus meant coming back through the blood and the body of Christ. I'm going to just share to conclude one last scripture with you, which I'm going to read myself. And it's from 2 Thessalonians. I, Paul, together with Silas and Timothy, greet the church of Thessalonian Christians in the name of God, our Father and our Master, Jesus Christ. Our God gives you everything you need, makes you everything you're to be. You need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing and developing wonderfully. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith despite all the hard times that have come down on you. We tell everyone we meet in the churches all about you. I feel exactly like Paul. I look back when I arrived and I remember some that have now left us because they've moved and we miss them, but we've enjoyed the journey with them. And there are others who shared their earthly journey with us and have now gone before us, and we'll not see them again until we join them in our heavenly home. And this has been sad, but we remember them with love and gratitude. But there are also all the lovely people who've joined us. And we're watching them grow. They're growing in their faith. And you are like brightly coloured additions to our fellowship. And I am so proud of you all and so grateful to have served you in the capacity of pastor. Thank you for blessing me. You are blessing everyone around you as your faith grows. Amen.